In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Even though classical music is not commonplace, or in most people's listening menu, Messiah by George Frideric Handel is generally well known. Several of the solos and choruses find their text from today's Bible readings. These are immortal words set to memorable music. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. Who can endure the day of his coming? For he is like a refiner's fire and will purify the sons of Levi. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. I almost tap my toe to it as I read those words. It's interesting, even in the epistle today, St. Paul, in the second reading, seems to be writing his own version of "I'll be home for Christmas" and his longing to be with the congregation at Philippi, with the Philippians. I suspect that in this Advent season, we are longing and preparing for the greatest homecoming, Jesus Christ, who is and was and is yet to come. The world has already started its celebrations and decorating and parties, music and shopping. And so, in many ways, the church is competing with the great end-of-the-year winter festival and the solstice celebrations, which coincide with the nativity of the incarnate Son of God. But our own heads have some work to do if our hearts are going to be carried away fully into real joy of Christmas. And that's why we have Advent. That's what it's all about. The people of Israel long ago were told to clear a path for God, to make a road where there appeared to be no way. The texts tell us God desires to come into our lives. We need to remove the obstacles and impediments, the bricks and stones and ditches and potholes, and clean out our old animosities and grievances. Cut back the weeds of doubt and greed. We cannot just make a nice little bed for a newborn babe in Jerusalem, but also open up our lives to transforming grace. During Advent, we need to attune our hearts and minds to the many ways that God enters our lives and is truly the desire of all nations. It's not just our private issues, but your life and mine in the context of longing of all people for justice, love, peace, and prosperity. Don't we all hope for newness? Something far better than what we have now in our relationships and even in the nation and the world. The woes of our political discourse, disappointing justice mixed with racial tensions, deadlock in government, our safety and welfare, is to name just a few of the haunting fears that trouble us. We dream of a better journey for all people in all walks of life. Like the ancient Hebrews, who lost their homeland, are we losing confidence in our many institutions and leaders? Have we let slip our hope that all these problems and all these wrongs can be fixed? Well, in truth, hope depends on your imagination. It's being able to dream dreams of a better tomorrow. It is such a seemingly impossible dream for us that this Advent, is it really that enemies might become friends, that emptiness might become fruitfulness, that the earth might be healed and the world might know true peace. Our faith says it is not impossible. For every light that breaks through, every blessing that heals the heart and gives us hope, every newborn baby that reminds us of the newness of God's tender mercies each morning, is an Advent kind of experience, a taste of what is yet to come, a sign of what God is all about. While we are not yet ready to sing Joy to the World, there is much to be grateful for in Advent. God willingly comes to those who invite God into their lives. Opening up, preparing a place for God to abide in your life is like switching on a light in the midst of darkness. When all the hurt and anger and betrayal is finished, what is left is a deep longing for God's promise of healing and reconciliation. No more war, no more violence, no more threats, no more fear, no more heartache. Can we conjure up such a future? When we hear the Bible readings and sing the hymns of light, of dawn breaking over us, we feel a longing for such light, especially in a world, a nation so divided today. We're shaken by mass shootings, massive wildfires and hurricanes, and environmental degradation, the rise in nationalism and racism and wealth disparity, which is violence in slow motion, and the threat of more danger hovering over us. Individually, so many of us also live with illness, poverty, and addiction, as well as threats and violence in our neighborhoods and even in our own homes. We may have relationships that are painfully difficult for us. We may struggle with depression, anxiety, and worries over financial problems. Our children cause us concern, and our parents need our care. We unwittingly participate in forces that pollute the air, the water, and the earth that our grandchildren will need. The world seems like a mess much of the time. Let us not forget, however, and here's the blessed assurance, we are children of promise. We are children of promise. God has not forgotten us. God has not left us behind. We hear the story of God's love, and here and there, we begin to experience and know the light is breaking over us. In our time, we listen to the story again. We wait together, sometimes in darkness, but we gather our strength, renew our courage, and feast upon the mercy of God so that we can go back out into the world and be light and love for those who, like us, long to find the way, the path to peace. In this Advent season, what sort of pathway needs to be cleared, broadly and smoothed out in your heart? In the 60s, we called that such stuff baggage. Rhymes with garbage, right? And we had to toss it out. Are you courageous enough to hope for a positive change in the things around you? Do you live in anticipation for the coming again of the Holy One who will shepherd us? Are we as a parish, a community, a state, a nation, yes, even a world ready to let go and let God? As you know, Emmanuel is Hebrew for God is with us. John is Hebrew and means God is gracious. God is with us and God is always gracious. Right now, at this very moment, God is here with us. God has already come to us. God is now and ever shall be. God in the midst of troubles, in the moments of joy, in the evening, in the morning, and certainly every new day. God desires us. God is the hound of heaven who pursues us. John the Baptizer, crying in the wilderness, called for repentance. Now, repentance means changing direction, turning away from failed and unproductive ways. Transformation is even more. It's about unlearning rather than learning, returning back to the foundational ways and means of life that are hidden in God. That is the prophetic and charismatic line that John the Baptist exampled. It's an invitation for our advent. So what are we to do? Sure, do all that stuff which makes our annual winter festival meaningful and fun, let's face it. Bring out all those family traditions of old which jog your memories and warm your hearts. Celebrating the anniversary of the birth of Christ is very special, for it wraps all sorts of ceremonies, events, and mementos and gatherings together. But the baby grew up. He lived and died and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father. He is there for us now to not change the past, nor even the fleeting present, but with God's help to shape the future for which we all hope. As a sign of divine patience and kindness, we have been given time to truly repent, to turn around. Yes, doubts arise. We feel sometimes when we are out of sorts and are in a wilderness. Nevertheless, we cry out, Emmanuel, God is with us. He has come in Christ, born in Bethlehem. He abides with us now through the Holy Spirit, and he will come again to be our judge and redeemer. Let us receive with joy the message of salvation. Amen.